Yesterday, we kind of rounded off, and we're going to tie it up today before we start probably one of the most important sugars you'll ever learn. When we start with Hashem, what's a Perek Zayin? I just want to round off what we've been doing up to now. We were focusing on the relationship of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and us as individuals in our relationship with Hashem as a son, the Bechori, an only son, and as a wife. The koyach of the wife, the one aspect that we've extracted from it, we want to use going forward, is the Ishtar Kegufay, the ability that we saw with Moshe Rabbeinu, Gavah Yadav Shel Moshe, the ability to, when Hashem's testing us and it looks like he's trying to take away the Torah, ability to mitzvahs, we can fight back. And we brought some extraordinary illustrations of that, and we have to find those in our own life. Ours aren't necessarily going to be that extraordinary, but the fact that we're sitting here today learning Torah is, I find, quite extraordinary. Look at it. It's a cum of that Vagova Yadav Shel Moshe, no question. In my mind, it's Chayni Bni, and Hashem sitting and saying, it's Chayni Bni, look, well done. So that's where we finished off. So we're gonna just finish this chapter. There's one more very important Nakuda that he wants to make here, and then we'll go into the next sugya. I'm on Pei Hei in the second paragraph. Kana leni lo yisif ki aliba de emes achrei ki klos akol amnam biyanu ba chobo she kodesh bo hu sidu ve bore soylem bo ifin kaze shanachnu ki yochol neistin lo es toroseinu mitzvaseinu ve elvodoseinu kosh is bar barichas. We have to add here that in Achinami, Nebed de emes, when everything's been said, we've explained in length that a kodesh baruch hu created and set up the world in such a way that we, so to speak, we give him our Torah, our mitzvahs, and our voida. Achadain olu l'kayre litmua, but you could still have the following question. Nicha, all very well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarich et kol yudi oivet Hashem. Hashem needs every Jew oivet Hashem. Kol echad v'nisoyin ha'miyuchad shelo. And Hashem needs everyone in our unique me. V'matzov, v'bakol prat yichayev yesh b'em nachas ruach miyuchad l'baroilam. In each person's particular situation, in the details of his life, there's a nachas ruach, that's mitzad our understanding. Hashem doesn't have a nachas ruach, the way we understand it. For us, l'boi roilam. Ach, keitzad novin. So, but that's fine. Okay, so that's all good. Now, keitzad novin kudi she'enu makayim shum mitzvah mitzvah satayra. Now, the problem is we've been talking about our default understanding, especially if you come from the Western world, and then you get into the Torah world, this dynamic never goes away until you work on it to go away. And that is our actions and our doing is what we focus on. So good, so I'm doing mitzvahs and I'm keeping Torah and I'm doing avodas of others, that I understand Hashem needs me. But we were also speaking about, we spoke about earlier, about what about, why is the chashivus of a life for someone who's never going to do a mitzvah? So, this person not doing any mitzvahs. I don't know, but Kupul or Michal Shabbos. Not only is not doing mitzvahs, but there's also people out there that are doing the opposite of what the Torah wants. He's Michal Shabbos, Rechel Neves, Dreyfus, Vagam. Hashem's prepared to invest an enormous amount in him as well. How do you understand that? In other words, we understand things in the Kabbalah or mitzvahs. You do mitzvahs, you keep Shabbos, so then you're a good boy, and then Hashem's going to give you a reward, and I call you a beseder, and you're a shuta for my celebration. But what about somebody who's not? He's a Jew, but he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Now that's a very powerful question. Atum alakachi, we're not talking about whether he's at fault or not. I don't think he's talking here about somebody who's bemazed, he's lahachis, he's a mumma. I don't know about that. I'm talking about somebody who doesn't know. But the bottom line is he's not doing the mitzvahs. He's a tinik shenishba, so he can't get punished, not his fault. But at the end of the day, he's not creating anything. So where's his value? Zatshuva lakachi, sheish shemokim, ha-tova amiti, umokim ha-idun ha-nitzchi, sho-isa rotze la-anik la-boi ro-ilam, ha-inu ha-ilam ha-zeh, ilam ha-bo. First thing we need to know is that the Ika place where Hashem wants to give us reward and Hashem wants to give us what he created the world in order to give us is in olam ha-bo, not olam ha-zeh. V'chein kol chayinu kan in pruzdo lifnei ha-trakli. Our whole life here is a preparation room before you go into the main place. Yeah, you have to prepare yourself and do what you have to do. Get ready for the journey. First thing you need to know is the things you can't understand. Somebody who thinks he can understand everything has a very small mind. Because he thinks it's a very small world, it's a very small Torah, and therefore I should be able to understand everything. Someone who's got a slightly bigger mind understands that you can't understand everything. That's the first thing you have to understand. The dogma, lo noichel avin, ma noisen akolosh bochu ye rege b'chayev shel yudi ploini sheini oisah poel b'ruma. The first thing we have to understand, it's a difficult question, but we have to have the courage to ask questions. We don't run away from our questions. Have the courage to ask the question, what does Hashem get from somebody who's not doing any mitzvahs? He's not preparing himself in the antechamber before he enters the chamber. This guy's getting on a boat, you know, in the other marshal that Chazal brings, he's getting on a boat tomorrow to go on a long journey, and he's not preparing food for the journey. What's going to be with him? So we don't understand. Maybe he came from we explain a lot of these things, not that we understand what we're talking about, but maybe he's a Gilgul and he's come to Masakan other things. Maybe he's getting more polished here. Maybe we don't know what he's doing here. We don't know why he's here. We don't know. We don't know why this person suffers so much. This person doesn't suffer. We don't understand. You look at a person, he's such a sweet, nice guy, whatever, and he's a peckle of suffering. And you get another guy, and he's not such a sweet, nice guy, whatever, and everything just starts squeezing for him. You understand that? No. We don't. That's the first thing we have to understand, is we don't understand. Advarim ukovim lepratim berovos v'alpaim da'ei sichleinu akat kisugel lasigo. We can't understand that. There are many mice in Chazal, many mice in our own lives, in today's generation, that we just don't understand it. Sometimes you get a bit of a giloy, sometimes a kosh boch umamash shows us. There's a little. And shows you, and you go, oh, jeez. What I thought was the worst possible situation actually turned out to be the best possible situation. I thought the best situation turned out to be the worst possible situation. We realize we don't understand. If you still think you understand anything after this corona event, you really need help. Have we ever seen a virus like this that functions in so many different ways, and every day it reveals something new and it's showing a different aspect of itself? And they first thought it causes this, and then they thought of that, and now they're discovering new things. And it affects different people. 113-year-old woman gets off a ventilator on the same day that a
baby.
Sorry, let me just mute everybody then. Sorry, okay. Sorry, I usually do that. Shkoach, Ephraim, I forgot to do that. An 113-year-old woman gets off a ventilator, fine, and the same day that 40-year-old Rahman is not possible. We have no idea what we're doing, we have no idea what we're talking about. And this is a microscopic little thing. It's quite dazzling. I don't know if you've seen a picture of this thing, a proper picture. I've got a photograph that gave us of this thing. A proper photograph taken on an electron microscope, and this thing is microscopic, it's ridiculously small. And it gets into your body, but you better look what it does, and you still think that you know and understand and have some control of what's going on. So we know that. We can't understand that. Namchish eva marshal. Yom ba'olam ha'machshavim liten lishlech kavetzei netunim mimachshev lemachshev. This was written a long time ago, but there's a thing on a computer where you can send a file from one computer to another. Lefamim nitkal ish ha'machshavim betguva ha'machshev. Sometimes you get on your screen. This happens in my head all the time. I get this quite often in my head. You just don't have enough memory. You can't send this file because you just don't have enough memory on your computer. What's the name, Chof? Let's say HaKadosh wants to give you the file of one moment of a Jew's life, so that you can understand how this all fits into the total macrocosmic plan of creation from the beginning until all the end. You see how this particular moment fits into all of that. As a truvatiye, ain't I the corona machshev shechalichim kovet zeh? The answer is you can't. You couldn't grasp it. Gamim nafuch el kol ha'olam kulo lamach shamachshev. If you take the whole universe and you turn it into a machshev, ulo yeh mesuga la'achil zeh. Couldn't work it out. Couldn't explain to you what. We wouldn't be able to work that out. Because We're dealing with a sugya called Netzach. We're dealing with a sugya called infinite, eternity. That means infinite. It doesn't mean very, 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 very big. It doesn't mean trillion, 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 trillion big. It means eternity. I have pictures from the Hubble telescope of things that are flying out up there in the sky that are 17 trillion kilometers from top to bottom. Nebula that are 17 trillion kilometers big. I've got a picture of it. And that's nothing. That's just a little speck of dust in Hashem's universe. And in terms of infinite, that thing doesn't even get onto the screen. It's so small. So we're talking about Netzach here. So you want to work out and understand how everything works. Netzchira is ein Seif is kuzu lo yoichel b'shum oifen l'yitgamed u'lachlel b'mizgeret havan shalana. We can't process it. Our limited understanding is not capable of understanding all the ramifications, the threads, the connections that go into one moment of one Jew's life. Achmazois, neida b'birush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarich rega shokol yudi. At the end of the day, we know that Hashem needs every moment of this yid. Yesh lo v'tachlis atzum ha-shi l'malem yasavaseinu. He has a purpose that's way beyond our understanding. V'kach kosuv ha-koin ha-gorul r'tzarek ha-koin v'lublin, zeich ha-tzarech v'vrocha. R'tzarek says the following. Rebbe Ruchem says something similar, but it's very nicely put here. And this is something worthwhile taking home with you. Kishem she-tzarech adem la-amin v'Hashem yisbaroch. In exactly the same way, Kishem, in the same way that a person needs to have imuna, Vashem is barach. Kach tzarich achar kamin ba'atzim. After that, in the same way that he's imuna in Hashem, he has to be imuna in himself. Rotzah loyma, what does that mean? Sheish l'Hashem is barach isek imo. That Hashem has business with him, has dealings with him, he has a need for him. V'sheini poil bottle. Sheben layna ayu ben layla obet. He's not a worker that doesn't have a job to do and he's here today and gone tomorrow. Ratzarich lahamin, person has to have mamash deep imuna here. Kinav shoyim imakora chayim yisparach shmoy, that his neshama comes from the source of life from Hashem himself. Sorry, chayim shemva, v'Hashem yisparach misanek u'mishtashaya bo. Hashem mamash gets enormous pleasure v'mishtashaya. Very interesting, fascinating word. I'm not going to translate that. Usually English word means to play. Aval zeloa. This word is all sugi on its own. And therefore, I'll get to your question now. 1 second. And therefore, person has to know and have imuna that Hashem gets enormous benefit and pleasure and whatever it is out of each individual Jew's life. So I'm going to see what this question is. See if we're going to deal with it now. Well, it's all speech. We also can't get things out of our comprehension. Then how do we claim to know anything? Do we really know what our okay, so I'm not going to go into this whole question now. Michi, you understand why? It's a whole discussion on its own. There's two answers to your question. They're the same answer. First of all, we don't say we don't understand anything. What we can understand, we understand. And second, we have a Torah. The Torah tells us what to do and what we need to know. What you need to know and what you need to understand, you're given. What you don't need to understand, so you're not given. That's where Imuna kicks in. Imuna starts where your knowledge ends. When you know something, you don't need Imuna. You know that you're wearing a shirt and the shirt's there. You don't need Imuna. You don't need to believe that you're wearing a shirt. You've got five-finger clarity. So those things you do know. There's things that's where Imuna kicks in. And what a person needs to know, as he takes rung up, the next rung, he can. A simple example, very simple marshal, and that is if you want to teach a kid to count, you're teaching him a bit of basic arithmetic, yeah? So you can't start teaching him A plus B equals C. It's too abstract for me, you can't grasp that. So you tell him, oh, well, fine, so then you'll never learn how to count, forget about it. Stop, you'll never learn, you can't do A plus B equals C, forget about it, you'll never know anything. No, you start in one apple, plus another apple, now you've got two apples. That's how you start teaching him. Does he understand A plus B equals C now? No, that's out of his range. Then you start doing 1 plus 1 equals 2 without the apples. Before, 1 plus 1 equals 2 was too abstract. You couldn't grasp that. But he could understand 1 apple plus 1 apple. Now you take away the apples and you slowly ease him into the next level. Now that he's got 1 plus 1 equals 2, now you can start introducing A plus B equals C, etc., etc. It's a very simple notion, but it does give the picture. What we're saying is, no, we don't understand anything. What we're saying is, we don't understand everything. And therefore, there's always going to be unknowns. And therefore, you have to have limona. That's where limona kicks in, when you're dealing with the unknowns. There's much more to what I've just said now, but I don't want to get too sidetracked, but that's the beginnings of an answer to your question. And that's the enormous chesed that Hashem gave us. He gave us his Torah. You're right, without the Torah, we would be blundering around, you know, with a six-pack and a scream. That would be our existences, because we wouldn't know what the heck we're doing. Yeah, we know what you have to do. Okay, if there's no more questions on this particular Lakuda, let's go one step further. I'm thinking maybe, just to illustrate this, make this even more profound, just to bring this home a little bit. You know, maybe we've mentioned this before, but there are new guys here, and maybe they haven't heard this before. When was it? Just a second. I think it was when the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where was it? I didn't understand what was happening. Was it by Rabbi Akiva maybe? Was Moshe Rabbeinu by Rabbi Akiva? Lo Zocheh. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Zeh Torah v'zeh Schoreh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, so Moshe Rabbeinu was blown away by Rabbi Akiva. We'll see the sugya, that's Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shomu Yischa. So Hashem shows Rabbi Akiva, Yischa was having his flesh stripped off his body with iron hot coals. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zeh Torah v'zeh Schoreh. So I think it's there. I can't remember. Maybe it was by Malachim, and they all had a question. Hashem Tzadik V'ra'alo says, "Stop, keep quiet, because if you don't, if you ask any more questions, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm putting the world back into the ball." So the problem there is, one second, he asked a question. If the answer is you can't understand, just say you can't understand. Well, what's I'll destroy the world? And what are you getting upset about? The guy asked a question. You're not a cheder Rebbe. Kids are allowed to ask questions. Moshe Rabbeinu asked a question. So what are you threatening to destroy the world for? He asked a question. You just tell him, I'm sorry, you're too young to understand the answer. So Shlomo Kluge says like this. Pashal was once a king, and he wanted to have a very, very, he had a beautiful piece of golden material made from gold threads, and he wanted to make a beged that would be fitting for the king. So he went out and be an honor to the king. So he sent his messengers all through his kingdom to find the best tailor in the country, and they came back with a little yid, a Jewish tailor, who was the best tailor in the kingdom, and he gave him the cloth, and the measurements, or whatever. He went off and he made a garment, and he came, and the king tied it on, and he was mamish, he was so happy, couldn't have been happy with his garment. He was mamish, blown away. But as is usual, there were a couple of ministers there who were very jealous that this yid had got so much, he paid him a fortune for the work, he was so happy with it. Very upset that this Jew had got the covered, and they decided to go make trouble for him. Nothing new. So they went to the king and they said, listen, he did a very nice job, but you don't see that he stole some of the material. You gave him a massive piece of material. How big is this baguette at the end of the day? Where's all the leftover material? He took it for himself. I was a gunner. So the king had a look and he said, okay, you're right. One second, bring me back this Jewish tailor. So he calls him and he said, listen, I didn't pay you enough that you have to steal. What kind of a person are you? You know, like off with the head. So the kid said, listen, I didn't steal not even one thread. And I can prove it. I'll prove it to you. There's only one thing. In order to prove it to you, I have to unravel the whole baguette again. Because when I make a baguette, so for the collar you need to make a double, and for the hem you need to tie it in, and for the sleeves you need to put a strengthening piece on the inside. But I can't show you that. All you see is the finished product. If you want me to prove that I never took a thread, so I'll unravel the baguette and I'll show you that it's all there. So that's what Shlomo Kluge was a Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying. I can't answer your question, Kuzman. The world's here. You want to see why this is happening? To see that, to understand that, you have to go all the way back to Maaseh Bereishis, pre-Maaseh Bereishis. You have to go all the way to the end of the Bria, and you have to see how everything fits together perfectly. To do that, I have to unravel the world. I have to take the world back to Tova Bohu and watch you, then watch the entire movie of creation. And I'm not going to do that for you, said Hashem. That's the vault here. Everything makes perfect sense. The only problem is we don't get to see everything because we weren't around for the whole story. So that's another nice marshal that just mamchishes this idea that we don't grasp everything. It could be that this mice is bought and even here later. I don't know where I saw this with Shlomo Kluge, but it's whatever. Zelo chashuv. Okay, we're on Pei Zayin, Perek Zayin, Ish Yehudi, Ish Yechidi. Yehudi Yechidi, that's the, in other words, that a Jew is a very unique creature. Okay. במטרה לחדש הדברים שיכתבו בפרק זה, נפתח בסיפור מן החיים ודורנו. This story that we're going to bring now in order to just stop and just take stock and really put down a major yesodia, but this story is terrifying. Also terrifying. I've been around with this story for a long, long time, over 20 years, and it's come up in a lot of places. I actually noticed in the latest AJOP, the Association of Jewish Outreach Professionals, that put out a weekly email. So I just get the email with all the titles of all the articles. I haven't looked at any of the articles, but there's an article there about this subject. I don't know if you did a study of that statistic. I don't know what the story is. We'll get to there now. But we're going to ask a question here, which is, if you've heard it before, you've worked it through, fine. If you've never heard this question before, it's going to stop in your tracks. It's terrifying. Especially for us that are just like, we're frum because we have to be frum, because even if we bale tshuva, and at some point we did make a bechira decision, but eventually you just become frum from habit. And you never really stop and ask yourself, why am I a frum Jew? And we'll see now, this is mamash the central core, what we're going to touch on here. And I've had experience with tens and tens of frum kids, okay, who don't have a grip on this. And it's mamash, it's right. So let's have a look. There was a story in one of the Hebrews at Daniel, one of the American yeshivas. I heard this from one of the Israeli yeshivas. Lo mashane, the story is a story. There was a bocha, muflag b'toyriv Yerushamayim, she'omer l'seis isha b'sha'a t'rgum etzlochus. He was one of the best bochrim in this wonderfully good yeshiva. She was one of the best girls. He was about to get married. And boom, suddenly, lepeta kame milif nesuev, u'kral yaday rov, shigidah lo yisod chayev. Just before the wedding, a few days before the wedding, his parents called him in to tell him something that was going to change the course of his life. Ima biologi ha'isa goya. His biological mother was a goya. Vayim b'yoysam chushu chabonim antsu ato kiyelet. They didn't have children, so they adopted him. If you are nidrash al pi halacha, the yigiu legil amitzus haye aloy lav ledei oy peil kach. Parents have to, you have to know to pi halacha when the child becomes mitzah. You have to let them know and whatever. If you have to do this, ask Shalei, you do it. And they have to tell him. They have to tell him that that he's a goy, and he gets given the choice. Lachlit imu makabel is good. It's at Yiroi Salom. Do you want to accept it or not? They decided not to tell it before for whatever reason. Sometimes it's good reasons. So now he's just 3 days or whatever before his wedding. They just tell him, by the way, Jewish. Today's a choice. He can accept the geirus. Not going to have a hard time getting accepted in your home. That's it. You just say, yeah, I'm on board, finished, the Igma is on board. Or no, maybe he'll say no. He took the second option. He said, no, I don't want to be a guy. I'm happy to be a good guy, and I'll keep Sheva Mitzvah's brand new. After Zil, who needs this? Sheva Mitzvah's brand new, very easy, and you keep the Rotsan Hashem without any problems. Zil. Kahu Yokaim is Rotson da 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 It caused an enormous, enormous uproar in the yeshiva world in that time. But one of the best bachrim, Mamish is Allah, the secretary of mitzvah, is about to make a wonderful marriage.
Class 1025.
Now listen carefully. Kesheshemati es urua zeh, mitzati es atzmi maharu mahafech bedova harbe. This mamas, the story disturbed of Tava, terrible. Tzadav shol b'chu zeh gorma li lachshov shel omarot shehitchanech chinuch toroni mo'ule kishtei osurim mechayev. This guy had the best Torah education you can offer him. 22 years of his life, he was in the best educational institution, the best parents, the best everything. Those 22 years never gave him a taste of Shabbos. When he didn't get a geschmack from the Yom Tovs, from a Leila Seder, from something. He never tasted the sweetness, the beauty of the Yiddish God. Never, 22 years. And he tasted what Yiddishkeit is. How could he just abandon it and walk away from it? He was living his life based on the fact that, well, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I have to be. I'm a good boy. I want to do the right thing. So that's what I do. I'm not obligated. I don't have to do this. I can be a good boy and not do this. It's not my inheritance. I never inherited this from anybody. I'm a boy. Cheers. How did that happen? וכך המשכתי לחשוב. אנחנו אמנו מכמה ברוך השם, אז יהדותינו במורושה מהבורסאים. Some of us didn't received our Torah from, he's talking about himself, from his parents. אך האם יהדותינו היא מקוירס? או שמה היינו אלא מיצס אנושי מלומד בלבד? Maybe my Torah is written original. Maybe I'm just doing it because that's what people do. I do it out of habit because that's what I do, that's the world I know, that's the world I understand, and I do it because whatever, that's what you do. That's what we got from our parents, and that's what we do, and that's what we do. Nothing to do with me really, I don't really have a personal connection to this, I just did some kind of a Messiah. I'm anu chashim be'emes u'betomim es ha'av v'asim chelios yudim. Do we really, really, not theoretically, do we really feel the love and the simcha of the Jewish? Neto. Es ha'ava v'asimcha she'belimut Torah v'kiyam mitzvaseya. Do we feel some simcha, some tainuk, some enjoyment in learning Torah and mitzvahs? Or is it all just, you want to do it, so you do it? I'm not saying all the time when you're learning it's geschmack. But overall, you look back, you go, psh, yeah, that was a good week, I enjoyed it. Every day was gewaldic. No, some days were like, and some days. But overall, yeah, I have a taste of simcha. I feel connected. It's my Torah. Al kol yehudi la'atzo es merutzom ha'chaim. Every Jew has to stop the rushing of his life. If you haven't done that now, then yeah, you better do it fast before they open up everything. V'lishol et atzmoi ha'im hanagusoi u'maisa yehudim na'asim mitoich b'chira v'akora u'lashol mishalachat sasim eti hi agoyrem machriya v'aminiya mekazi la'maisa. I'm a dingus. So I do this because of a genuine bechira, because I know what I'm doing, I'm thinking about it, and I'm doing it. Or is it just something that's, you know, just I do it because that's what I do. I put on tefillin today because I put on tefillin yesterday. When was the last time I put on tefillin today? With a clear connection and bechira to put on tefillin. I'm just using it as an example. Everyone's got their own fault. Shabbos rolls around once a week. I did Shabbos this week, same as I did it last week. If a person feels that a big chunk of, we're not talking about all or nothing yet, you have to find the spaces we can connect to this. If a Jew feels that a large part of his Torah are not original, it's quite likely that he hasn't really connected with that very powerful concept of Atava Chatanu Mekol Amim, the Nosan Dari Seira, Am Segula, that we are Hashem's chosen people, and that we have a very deep personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. Okay, that's a question. Take with you. Shabbos is a good time to think about these things. Ask yourself, if I discovered today that I wasn't Jewish, would I'm a Gaya? Simple question. Very simple question. Now, there are people out there that did Magaya, so they're the real lucky ones. They're the real tzaddik. Because they had the choice to die. I'm dying. But that's gewaldic. I don't have that choice. I was born Jewish, and that's it. So here I am. If I would discover today that I wasn't Jewish for some reason. We found out that, you know, your great grandmother was a form, whatever, and you found out that you're not Jewish. So then that could be a real difficult struggle. I've asked this to dozens and dozens of Bokrim and people wherever I go, like asking this question. And it's quite terrifying, the answers. There were very few without even thinking, said, what a question, I'm a guy on the spot. But there were a lot that said, you know, if I think about it, which was nice, and there were a lot that said, no ways would I be a guy. Never in a million years would I be a guy. It means he's not even living Jewish now. It's not that he's living Jewish now, but if he had a choice, he'd duck out. If he would duck out, if he had the choice, I mean, he's not even living like a Yid now. So there's a lot to be worked on here, a lot to be dealt with here. Let's Hashem on Sunday, we'll take this much further. But in the meantime, do your homework, do some thinking. If you found out now you were Jewish, would you die or not? That's not a straightforward question for anybody. Okay, that's it. Any questions, comments, whatever, I'm happy to deal with them now. I have a bit of time. Otherwise, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. And let's just see what's coming up on the screen here. Yeli, thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. Take good care. Bezat Hashem. We'll be back soon, hopefully. I'm not in a hurry to get back yet.